Good morning, and welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes, and today I am joined by Connor.
Good morning, Joey.
And do we have a special show for everybody today, because it's time to talk about the Oscars after they happened. I guess this is our Oscar reaction episode. I mean, there's really only one time you can do this. We debated putting this off because we have another episode that we're interested in talking about that we're going to record actually right after this, but we figured, you know what, we should probably just get this Oscar episode out of the way, because in a week no one's going to care about any of this. So this is pretty much this is the best time to talk about it, and perhaps the only time to talk about it. Would you agree with that, Connor?
I would, and I would even add that Wednesday might be even a little too late, but you know, this might will be. Call this your final capper to the 2023 film year.
Well, I guess, like, before we get to the awards itself, what did you think of the ceremony and the production, it as a thing you watch on TV? Like, how are you feeling about it this year?
You know, so I'm always mystified by how, like, mediocre I think the whole production is, in terms of the way that they time everything, the way they do the bits that are written by comedians that they give to these actors to read, how long they go on for, and how it's not, like, coordinated enough, and then how it always seems to have, I mean, some years, Will Smith slap year, La La Land being announced as best picture when it wasn't, those things always happen, but then there's always some, like, little fiasco that happens that causes, like, controversy. Like, in this year, Al Pacino just reading off that Oppenheimer won Best Picture but they had plenty of time. So what happened to me in my head is that is like it's the producer's fault. It must be it must be them thinking, like, all right, well, if this goes long, then Al, you need to go, like, quick, and you need to do this because we have a new episode of a show that's on at the at the next half hour, so it needs to be quick. True. So then, like, the message must have been delivered to him, but then the follow-up message of, well, wait a minute, we have 5 minutes, so you can actually just go ahead and let all of the nominees get named, and so the producers can have their name in, because when they announce Best Picture, it shows the producers' credit, right?
Yes.
But instead, they just skipped all that, and he opens it and just goes, Oppenheimer. And then, like, everyone's kind of confused of, like, I guess they won?
Was that it? Yeah.
Yeah. Then there was awkwardly another 5 minutes left where Jimmy Kimmel had to, like claw for time and then and come up with what to do with the last amount of time left with the show.
Yeah.
So it, like, that's the kind of thing that always amazes me, that at a production of this scale with this many stars that gets pretty good ratings. Still, I mean, it's not what it used to be, but that it seems so loose with how it's structured. Like, because I mean, live TV is not new, and like these productions, a lot of other productions are run much better. So I don't know why this one always seems to have this happen. But what did you think?
Well, I'm pretty sure I read that Al Pacino put out a statement saying that the producers did tell him not to read the nominees because they were read throughout the entire ceremony. And yet they were, right? Like, before every commercial break or after every commercial break, we got, like, a trailer basically from one of the Best Picture nominees. So maybe that was the logic. I mean, that was clearly the logic of the producers and what they told Al Pacino. But they didn't tell anybody else. So I think the confusion of when he started opening the envelope was palpable. But I think the capper to it is just that Al Pacino is a very funny presenter in general. And, like, his way of delivering it was, I see Oppenheimer.
Well, I mean,
I love him.
He's a living legend, which is obvious. Like that, but the fact that, like, but to me, it's on the producers that there was that much time left. You know, like, usually never happens, and they're always over. And, like, Jimmy Kimmel even makes a bit how, you know, we're starting at 7 o'clock, which I guess that the news didn't go out because a lot of people didn't realize that it was starting as early as it was.
So they had no idea.
So yeah, like, you, including you, tuned in.
I missed the first two,
like,
awards
late. So
yeah,
I don't know. It just seems it just seems not, I mean, I'm not, I wasn't very impressed with the production, but.
I mean, my issue with the Oscar broadcasts these days, really for the past couple of years, for a pretty long time at this point, is really just Jimmy Kimmel. Like, I'm sick of that guy. Like, I think
that they're so afraid of, like, who
They are. They're afraid. They know that Jimmy Kimmel himself is not going to be a problem. He's a team player. He's going to do his very milquetoast, boring bits, and it's going to not ruffle any feathers. If something else goes wrong, at least it won't be because of the, like, the host that they picked, right? And it's not going to, like... There's no risk involved with Jimmy Kimmel is basically, I think.
Although he apparently went rogue at the end of the show because he had to stall for time and he decided to read Trump's whatever post that was.
Oh, yeah. Which was
awkward and strange. And like, I don't know. It was just not it was just weird, especially after all the awards are announced.
You know, I just think that guy sucks. he's just a bad host. And basically, like, his tone throughout the entire thing every time is like, man, who even likes movies anyway? You know, okay, next award.
I don't know if he's that bad. It's not nearly as bad as it got for, like, there was one year where it was just a total disaster. Where it might have been the year where they didn't have a host or something. I don't know.
Well, it's like you wonder why a guy like Hayao Miyazaki doesn't show up to something like this. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why he doesn't show up to something like this, but it probably doesn't help that, like, you know, every year there's always some crack about, you know, animated movies being for kids only. Like, Jimmy Kimmel was like, oh, do all your kids vote on this category? Yeah, I'm just kidding. Here's the, you know, it's like, it's just devaluing, you know, who even cares at that point, you know? So... Yeah, I don't know. I get the sense that, like, Jimmy Kimmel is just he doesn't really care. He doesn't really want to be there. He's just doing it because it's a gig and it's a easy gig and it's a reliable gig and he'll do what the producers tell him.
It's kind of a thankless gig though, because he hasn't gotten good feedback or reviews from this. Like, no one liked his monologue.
No one ever likes it.
But, I mean, right, that's what I'm saying. It's a thankless gig, though. Like, the only one that I think that, it's not the same, but it was the Ricky Gervais Golden Globes thing, where he just went full scorched earth style. Was actually pretty good, but you know, the people in the crowd were not into it.
No, they were not happy.
But that one was good, but they would never do that. I think they're so worried about that kind of thing happening again if they went to someone of that ilk. Whereas they know that Jimmy Kimmel is in the bag, you know, he's works for the network, you know, he's not going to cross the line too much, at least. Yeah. Although Robert Downey Jr. took some what I thought was somewhat unnecessary pot shots, but luckily he's a good sport and, you know, he's good. I don't know if you saw that part of the show, but
I missed that part.
Some jokes about how Robert Downey Jr. is a former... relating to his past is,
yeah,
you know, which right. not the, not in the best
that's very poor taste, but very poor taste,
but whatever. And apparently Emma Stone was not too thrilled with some of the things. I think there was a like a lip reader kind of got that she
oh yeah
to her
yeah
husband,
I saw, I saw
like,
that
like, this guy's such a jerk, like, or something. Something like that. I will say though, Joey, as far as the actual awards go, I was not that disappointed.
I feel like for the most part, it was mostly what the expected results were, with a couple of like sort of surprising upsets. Like as we predicted, I mean, Oppenheimer was the movie of the year and it pretty much won in all the major categories that it was nominated for, outside of some of like the acting categories, I guess. But that was expected, I think. I don't think anybody was really shocked to see Oppenheimer completely clean up by the end. I was maybe a little surprised to see how many awards Poor Things got.
That was the one I didn't see.
I didn't see it either.
Now I regret it. I'm gonna have to go back and go see it, but
yeah, perhaps. But of course the biggest upset of the night was probably the Emma Stone winning for Poor Things instead of Lily Gladstone for Best Actress. And the surprising part for me is just, regardless of the quality of the performances, I couldn't compare them anyway because I haven't seen Poor Things. It's just all the momentum was on Lily Gladstone's side leading up to this, and pretty much everybody expected that she was going to get it.
Including Emma Stone, it seemed like.
Yeah, she seemed a little bit flabbergasted and perhaps a little uncomfortable being the winner, because the optics of it are a little bit rough. But I think that that was surprising. I definitely was not expecting to see Emma Stone win there. But the funny thing was, like, right before they announced the Best Actress award, I was just thinking to myself, you know what? I bet Emma Stone gets this. I think that the momentum is there. I think that this, like, I had forgotten that, like, the over the past, like, however many years Martin Scorsese's been making movies, like, his past four movies have all gotten a considerable amount of Oscar nominations, but have won nothing. So I was like, wait a second, this is not going to be any different.
Yeah,
like, this is just kind of his how it's going to be for the rest of his career, I think.
You think that's it, or was it just not? Have they not been enough, or I'm not sure what it is.
I think that the movies he's made lately are not, they're the kinds of movies that are easy to nominate, but I don't think that a lot of people come away from them with this, like, overwhelming feeling that they have that they're, like, the winning movies, especially because lately his movies have been very, like, long, slow, and kind of dire and drab, in like a tone kind of way, especially grappling with some, like, really, really heavy themes that make some people very uncomfortable. So I think that that element makes people kind of reluctant to award like the performances, and if that makes sense. I mean, it felt like Lily Gladstone, if there was ever going to be one from this recent crop of Scorsese movies, that she would be the one to win, because her performance kind of, like, did strike a nerve with people that saw that movie. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. The writing was on the wall. I knew that Killers of the Flower Moon was not going to get anything. I knew it wouldn't win Best Score. I knew it wouldn't, you know, anything it was up for. I kind of knew that this was going to be another year of Marty kind of getting kind of disrespected a little bit, but not to say anything against the other movies though.
They were nominated for a lot of Oscars. They were, yeah. There's, at the end of the day, it's not, you know, you don't need to win always to.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the Oscars. It doesn't mean anything. the Oscars means nothing.
Right, exactly. But I do think it especially for just kind of for Christopher Nolan. Like, I think for him to win Best Director and to win to have his film win Best Picture for Oppenheimer, his lead actor Cillian Murphy to win Best Actor, like Best Supporting Actor Robert Downey, that's huge. Like, that's a career capper for someone who has been meant so much to, like, the industry, and you know, who's been nominated before. And I'm not sure that Oppenheimer is the best movie he's ever made. Like, I still think that Dunkirk is one of the top movies that he's done.
Yeah, Dunkirk was a special movie to see in that IMAX format when that came out. That was really special.
Yeah, and this, I mean, it's great, but I think it's awesome that he's recognized as an Oscar-winning director, like Martin Scorsese and all.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think, like, regardless of whether you think it's his best movie or not, and the guy's made a lot of movies, he's had a very long career, like, Oppenheimer's the movie that has, like, it, other than, like, Inception, which was a huge cultural thing, I feel like Oppenheimer is, like, his magnum opus in a way, you know? Like, the level of, like, cultural penetration this movie got is pretty substantial. More so than, like, most of the other movies he's made, with the only exception I can really think of being Inception, which also had that kind of thing. And, like, the superhero movies, obviously the Batman movies were big, but those were also, like, had the IP attached to them. And I think for him, like, this was probably more of a passion project than those were. And to see it break through in such a tremendous way, like this 3-hour biopic, is really, really something. I think that this is a very well-deserved win for Christopher Nolan and for everybody that worked on that movie. Best original score too. The Ludwig Göransson score was fantastic in that movie.
Yeah, he also worked on Tenet. Like, I mean, he's big now. He's huge. I thought the score was excellent, but
I think that the key moments in that score are phenomenal. Like the Can't You Hear the Music montage, like that kind of thing is such a special moment that alone to me is like worthy of the win for best original score. The thing that bothers people, of course, about that score is just that it's incessant throughout the entire movie, and people, you know, have very mixed feelings about how Christopher Nolan does that in his movies. But I mean, like I said, I think that the key moments from it are so strong and so powerful that, yeah, that was a very well-deserved win.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's so a couple of other categories here that I was really happy to see certain things win that I maybe wasn't expecting. Like for example, in the best animated feature Oscar, like you mentioned, The Boy and the Heron won, which was really cool to see because I don't know. I kind of, usually what happens with these, the best animated film category in the Oscars is that it kind of like just goes to whatever the Pixar thing was that year or whatever the big animated movie for all ages slash kids was this year, which was definitely that Spider-Man movie, the Across the Spider-Verse or whatever. So I was kind of expecting that one was going to win. And also because that movie has such a distinct visual style that I figured would just be like such an obvious, like, you know, they just give it to that. Because, I mean, most of the people voting in the Academy, they might not have even seen these movies. Like they only saw a couple of them. My thought was that if people are voting on this, the most likely movie that they saw in the Academy viewership, that audience would have been the Spider-Man movie. But to their credit, you know, they had seen this, you know, not maybe not the last Hayao Miyazaki movie. He is not retired now.
What a great, I mean, I told you, I saw it twice in theaters. I thought Boy and the Heron or how do you live? I think
How Do You Live? Yeah.
It's called in every other country. It's just so good. Like, yeah, and it's great. It's just tremendous. And I think, you know, the tides might be turning a little bit, like with the superhero things. Like the only one that really got the, you know, this would have been the one to get like a lot of attention, because I think the Spider-Man's Spider-Verse thing was like the one real big comic book movie from 2023.
Yeah, it was pretty much that, and that Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which I think was nominated for like one thing, didn't get anything.
The superhero thing that was talked about the most was Madam Web. Madam Web took a lot of pot shots.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. But I think the funny thing about Madam Web to me, the funniest thing about it to me is how, like, you can get, you definitely get the sense over the past couple of months that Marvel Studios has been like, all right, we need to stop for a bit, reassess what we're doing. We've had some problems. The Jonathan Majors thing is a big problem. We're going to take a step back for a little while, try to get people back on our side and make them excited to see a new movie from us, right? So they're like, we're not going to release anything this year or something like that, right? But then Sony is still releasing their garbage. So it's like the superhero thing is getting tainted regardless whether Marvel keeps putting stuff out. So there's really, like, Marvel can't win here. Like, they're getting just basically, like, Sony is kind of ruining them.
I'll tell you
by
something
making
that
these horrible movies. Like,
an article that I saw, like, somewhat recently, or maybe today at some point, was that their Sony or whoever is starting to leak that Spider-Man 4, Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire might happen, just to, because they're probably desperate and they need
reeks of desperation.
Yeah, you know? Right. Which that's absolutely what it is, because Madam Web is such a disaster that they need to shift that narrative, because Sony are the ones who have the rights to Spider-Man, so they can keep making all of the Spider-Man universe stuff, and they put they loan Spider-Man to Marvel when they need him, I think is how it works. So that's what so that it's just funny, but a lot of real movies though were in this year. Like what is it, another big you know, a big moment of the night was best visual effects going to Godzilla Minus One.
That was huge.
All of those guys from Japan were there and went up and got the award with Godzilla toys in hand.
Yeah, they had a bunch of Godzilla models with them. That was so awesome. Those guys seem awesome. Like, I think that was really cool though, because it was really like, that was a big story from the time when that movie came out, because that movie's visual effects really are spectacular. And there was a comparison between like the budget of that compared to the budget of like a Marvel movie, and like it's, you know, Marvel movies, some ridiculous $200 million, whatever, whereas like this Godzilla movie was like $20 million or something. I'm making up these numbers. I don't know exactly what they were, but it was ridiculously low budget compared to something like a Marvel movie. But the visual effects are stunning, right? So it's like, where's all that money going in these Marvel movies?
And some of it might be above the line too, but the other above the line, meaning paying the talent, the actors and stuff. But also nominated for Best Visual Effects was The Creator, which we did review, which we were mixed about. But that movie was not nearly as expensive as these Marvel movies or these other giant ones. Yeah. But it also looked great. Like, it was good enough to be nominated and certainly deserved so to be, I thought. So I think this kind of ties into my other really big moment of the night was when Cord Jefferson won for the best adapted screenplay for American Fiction, which was a movie that I brought up on one show that I thought was fantastic. And I was happy to see that it won something, and adapted screenplay was great. And what Cord Jefferson said was basically right in line with that, is that, you know, essentially Hollywood didn't want the movie. It took a long time to get people to sign up for it and to do it. And also he brought up that give a chance to these smaller budget movies, make 40, $10 million movies instead of putting all of it into the one project, you know, because you can make really good stuff. And this is a perfect example of that. American Fiction was fantastic.
That was such a great speech. That's one of those speeches that's like, I'm glad that guy, you know, thought to say that on such a big stage, because that's one of those things that like everybody in the room thinks that, but it's kind of like, you know, it's I think lately the tides are really turning in the industry, because like talking about Madam Web, like Dakota Johnson has basically said nothing but hatred towards that movie and the process that made it get made.
Sydney Sweeney too, like they're all in on it.
Like people are very not pleased with the way that Hollywood money is working right now and the way that Hollywood is working with getting these big movies made. And I think that it's great to see that people are finally like really, really speaking out about it and how there's much more potential for really good art to be made if we, you know, give more projects to a wider berth of people, as opposed to the put all your eggs in one basket mentality that it's been for like the past, you know, however many years, 15 years. I mean, it's great. That was really great to see.
The other big moment, how about the Barbie movie's biggest moment now that everyone's going to remember is how great Ryan Gosling Ken, who was nominated, did in his performance, which I don't care what you think about Barbie or the movie. I think he did a great job. He didn't. Didn't lip sync. He just did it all live. Sang. Like, it's just, it's so cool to see how the careers of Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone from La La Land have just turned into actors in Hollywood. And like, they were stars of two of the big stars of this whole night. Still, you know,
absolutely.
Like, it's, I think he, I mean, that's what everybody's going to remember. I mean, Margot Robbie was hardly even shown, you know, in the show the whole time.
Yeah, it's kind of it's just an odd takeaway from the whole Barbie phenomenon. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, everybody that I've talked to who has seen that movie has come away from it like talking about Ken and how much they love Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that he's just such a charismatic performer. And it's such a weird performer. You know, like he's both a ridiculously massive star, but one with a very odd screen presence that I think is like a really special thing, you know, like a super attractive leading man type, but like he's like a weirdo. He's like a freak in these movies. And that's what makes him awesome.
Yeah. A lot of weirdos. The one thing that I noticed in the presentation from multiple times, I don't know if you picked up on it too. There seemed to be like weird promotions that weren't promotions from presenters throughout the whole thing. Like,
did that like last year too, if I remember correctly, where like there'll be like a sponsored presenter situation. Like, I think they had the people from that new It's Wicked movie.
Yeah, so yeah, right? They had Ariana Grande. There, but they did, I don't think they brought up that anything about the movie though.
Like, yeah, it was different.
They were
from
just there.
Well, last year it was like a disaster because they I don't know if it was last year, maybe it was the year before, I can't remember, but I know they did like an actual ad for the Little Mermaid remake in the middle of the performance.
Yeah.
Which was really rough. Like,
they didn't do that. So this one, it seemed more like they just put the stars of future movies on, like, as presenters. Like, another one was Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, who are both doing that stuntman movie that's coming out fairly soon.
Mm.
Like, I can't help but think that that's not a coincidence that they would do stuff that too.
I think that they've done those pairing that kind of pairing stuff before. But to me, it's like, that's fine as long as you're not having them also say, check out this movie in theaters, here's a trailer, instead of just getting to the awards, because then we're in like Game Awards territory.
Yes.
And nothing should aspire to be like the Game Awards. That's the worst television or online broadcast of anything that ever happens every year. I don't know. I can't complain here. I'm mostly thought that the night was fairly smooth. Jimmy Kimmel sucks, but whatever. and the things that won were either, you know, cool to me, or a little bit surprising. There's a couple of interesting little upsets there. I mean, I don't know. It was fine. But yeah, I mean, Oppenheimer's movie of the year. I think we said it many times before, and it was completely borne out by the results here. So I'm not surprised, and I will not think of many of these movies for the rest of my life, because that's kind of how it goes.
There's a lot of good ones though in this.
There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones. Sure.
And a lot of the winners are really good. Anatomy of a Fall, I was really happy to see win.
Anatomy of a Fall,
best original screenplay. The Zone of Interest, best international film, also great. Very interesting. The Holdovers is interesting. They have Davine Joy Randolph won best supporting actress. Did you see that there's a bit of a Holdovers controversy?
Yeah, but everybody agrees that it's stupid.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there is.
But I don't know. It was like timed right before the Oscars. It was very clearly a targeted attack in some capacity. But yeah. I think it's stupid. It's basically some screenwriter who wrote like a super super generic screenplay claiming that this The Holdovers, which is also following a very typical three act movie structure, must have ripped off his incredible screenplay. Like, when you know, it's just, I'm sorry, just because you guys wrote similar stories, it's not a ripoff. It's very, very tenuous evidence. But I don't know. I think that's pretty much all I have to say about the Oscars. I hope you guys enjoyed our little recap of this year's Oscars. And, you know, we'll be back next year around this time. Hopefully we'll have some interesting things to talk about at the 2025 Oscars. But until then, we got a lot of movies to cover. So we will see you next week.